This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Welcome to this weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Busy, busy week on Capitol Hill as the debate over funding government and Obamacare is still unfolding. For the latest on what is happening on Obamacare, be sure and tune in on Monday for our daily broadcast of Washington Watch. To find out more about that, go to TonyPerkins.com. Coming up on today's program, veteran sportscaster Craig James tells us why he was sacked by Fox Sports and why he is fighting back, not only for himself, but for all Christians. And the media continues to say that Republicans and conservatives who are against Obamacare are ignoring the problems in our healthcare system and really don't care about the uninsured. Short response, they're wrong. Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee tells us why. Also, Tom Fenton with Judicial Watch tells us about the latest lawsuit against the Obama administration, who tries to say they're transparent. Well, this time, Tom and his team are suing the Pentagon over their relationship with the anti-Christian crusader Mickey Weinstein. All that and more on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. By the way, coming up October the 11th through the 13th is the Values Voters Summit here in Washington, D.C. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. Well, on Wednesday, I had a great conversation with Craig James, the former NFL running back and college football analyst, who was recently hired and then fired by Fox Sports Southwest for comments he made while running for the U.S. Senate. Mr. James was asked during his campaign about his stance on same-sex marriage, and he answered them honestly from his biblical point of view, which he didn't know would cost him his job months later. Craig has continued to stand strong in his faith through this attack and is pursuing legal action with the help of Liberty Institute. Here's my interview with Craig and with Kelly Shackelford earlier this week. Craig, Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Hey, good to have you on. Hey, we were talking about Fox pushing back, saying they didn't let you go for religious reasons, but they said you were a polarizing figure. The only thing I can find in your record that they could be referring to is the fact that as a Senate candidate, you said you support natural marriage.
Well, I you know what? It is what it is. It's a saying that I say quite often around my house. They said what they said to the Dallas Morning News as to why they had let me go. It's hard to go back now and try to rewrite history. So of record, they said that they let me go based on the stance I had taken a prior year to even going on the air with these guys about what I believe the definition of marriage is. And so there's no question that they made a mistake and they're wrong, and they're going to try to cloud the picture now and create some fuzzy stuff out there.
Kelly, I know you have a lot of history when it comes to the courts and religious liberty. To me, this looks like Fox is, to mix metaphors here, it looks like they're skating on thin ice.
Yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. There's no federal law, there's state law. I mean, you cannot discriminate against people on the basis of religion. That's against the law in this country. And not only did they do that to Craig, and it had nothing to do with his work, had to do with his views expressed over a year earlier, but they even admitted that that was the reason they did it when they were asked by the Dallas Morning News. Now that they realize they got their hand caught and they're in trouble, they're trying to come out with something different. But boy, there's already new news reports coming out, I know Breitbart and others, that are completely attacking that and showing that to be false. It's clear that they attack Craig solely because of his religious beliefs, his biblical beliefs on marriage.
Now Craig, let me just ask you, what did you say on the campaign trail that is so controversial?
Well, we were all of the candidates, including Senator Cruz, we were sitting there in one of our candidate debates, and they asked us, each one of us, what we believe the definition of marriage was. And I said it was between a man and a woman, and it went on into the homosexuality, and I said that we all have sinful tendencies, basically. We have a choice to make. I choose to do my thing, and others choose their way. We'll all be judged for our actions by God. Generally, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's what I believe. It's my biblical belief. The Lord and Savior that I worship, I believe the Bible, not just parts of the Bible that feel good. I believe all of the Bible. And so I have the freedom to do that, and that's what this is about. It's not about homosexuality. It's not about anything else, whether I was a good guy or a bad guy. I have the right to have a belief biblically, and that's what I'm being punished for.
Well, Craig, it's amazing to me, though, as well, that it is also what the Constitution of the state of Texas says.
Absolutely it is, and Kelly pointed that out. So I'm not out of bounds on this. Fox made a mistake. This is a classic example. Someone made a mistake. They just need to own up to it. But they're not trying to do that or going to do that. They're going to instead try to cloud the picture, change the story, and see if they can rewrite history.
Now, what is the outcome that you hope to see here?
I think there are a couple of things here that I really believe the Lord's placed in front of me on this one here. First and foremost, I hope it's a continued wake-up call for Americans who enjoy religious liberty to stand up and be heard, to be bold. That's what we have to do. Enjoy your religious liberty and freedoms, regardless of your faith. Stand up and be bold and be passionate because the other side's doing the same.
What have you heard from your colleagues since this surfaced?
Crickets. Not a lot. I think there are a lot of folks right now who are very quiet and concerned about their own standing. I'm now having people, men on the street, friends of mine, who come up to me and say, you know, Craig, I got to tell you, I hate what happened to you, but I'm guarded at my office place. You know, I'm concerned that my employer will find out what my belief and my faiths are and hold that against me. And this is America, and I do think we're at a crossroads. There's a fork in the road, and that's why we have to stand up, we have to be heard, we have to be bold, and we have to be passionate about it.
Do you think in part that actions taken, like in your case, I don't know, I think you may be familiar with Sergeant Monk, who is also being represented by the Liberty Institute, who is in the Air Force, who has a very similar situation to you, just has a biblical view of marriage. Do you think that, in part, that these efforts, these actions taken against individuals like you, is designed to have a chilling effect to scare people?
That was the word I was going to come up with. Absolutely, Tony. It is a chilling effect. And I've heard Kelly talk about his defense of the gentleman you mentioned. And thank goodness, I think that guy took a stand and he said, no, I'm going to be biblically correct, not politically correct. There is a chilling effect that this has. And there are a lot of people watching my situation right now, and they're trying to see how it's going to be resolved. And that's why I'm really fortunate that Liberty Institute and Kelly and these guys are helping me, because we have to fight. This country fought years ago for the First Amendment. Now it's our turn to fight to keep what we have.
You're absolutely right. But let me say this. There's a lot of cases like yours that are happening across the country, but for Kelly to do what they do so well, and for organizations like ours to be able to give a platform for it, you have to have somebody who's willing to speak out and say, you know what, this was wrong, and I'm going to speak out against it, not just for myself, but for all Christians and all people that hold our religious freedom as a precious right. So yeah. I want to thank you for standing up and speaking out.
You know what I've prayed about, Tony? In my campaign, people heard me time and again. My goal in life is that when I meet my Maker, He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And in this situation right here, I feel like the Lord's put this in my path for a reason. I pray that He will use me and my feet to walk the path that He's put me on for His will, not for my personal gain. It is for us, for all of us. And that's why I'm very, very fortunate to have Kelly and these guys helping.
Craig James, thanks so much. We're going to be staying on top of this as it makes its way, I hope, to a positive resolution, not only for you, but for all people of faith and all of those who hold marriage as it has always been, the union of a man and a woman. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Well, people can follow along with it, Tony, at libertyinstitute.org, and I appreciate you having me on.
Again, that was sportscaster Craig James and Kelly Shackelford, who is the president of the Liberty Institute. To find out more about that case, go to tonyperkins.com. Still to come, when we return from the break, Phil Rowe, Congressman of Tennessee, joins us to tell us about what Republicans are proposing to help health care in America. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
Stay tuned for an important message. Hi, this is Rick Santorum, and I'm honored to be among the distinguished lineup of speakers at Value Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C. Join me and thousands of our fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come take a stand for faith, family, and freedom. Value Voters Summit is the place to get involved and stay informed about the critical issues facing our country. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, Obamacare, government spending, and the military. Value Voters Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, the Heritage Foundation, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action, and Family Research Council. Register today for just $99 at valuevoterssummit.org. That's valuesvoterssummit.org. I look forward to seeing you on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. To find out more about Washington Watch, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, there has been a lot of movement in the fight to end Obamacare this past week. Senator Ted Cruz took to the floor for over 21 hours on Tuesday to express his desire to see the law changed. He's not the only one taking action. The House of Representatives is positioning itself to be ready with strategic moves, one move being a replacement bill called the American Health Care Reform Act, which would fully repeal the president's health care law while making sure no federal funds are put toward abortion, among other things. Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee, who helped draft the bill, joined me on Thursday to talk about the details. Congressman Rowe, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks very much. I'm thankful for God's grace and every day. And thank you for having me on. And this has been a labor of love, I know, for our listeners. For those who don't know me, I practiced medicine, just a country doctor in East Tennessee for 31 years. As I got here, I wanted to work on health care reform because it's something I know a great deal about. And unfortunately, with the Affordable Care Act, we had nine physicians in our Physicians Caucus in the 111th Congress. We, I guess in 2009, not one of us during that debate on that bill was asked one thing about the health care bill. It just astonished me that you would have someone here who wanted to genuinely, I wanted to be proactive. I didn't want to be reactive. I wasn't political. And I really wanted to have some input. Didn't get a chance to. So anyway,
Let me stop you right there, Congressman. Doesn't that tell you that it really wasn't about health care?
No, sir.
Because if it was about health care, don't you think they would have asked the doctors?
They would have asked, and even more so, we brought 80, I had 10 of them, but 80 amendments to that bill. Not one of them was ruled germane to the bill. In other words, we couldn't even get a hearing on the House floor on it. It was a totally closed process. And that was very frustrating because I had been through almost 20 years of health care reform that had not worked in Tennessee, the so-called 10 care program. And so with running to practice with a business, which is a medical practice, and also being a part of that health care reform failure, said, let me tell you what not to do. Well, guess what we've done? We've just put 10 care on steroids with the Affordable Care Act. And that's why Chairman Scalise and the Republican Study Committee asked me to head up a group to try to do a better way to provide health care for people and let them, patients and doctors, be in charge of those decisions, not insurance companies and governments. And I think we've done that.
Now, is there a timetable by which the Congress might take up this bill in the House?
We've talked to our leadership about, you know, obviously there's a lot on the plate right now in the next few days, but we want this to go through regular order. And for people that don't speak Washingtonese, regular order means that this bill would go in front of all the committees of jurisdiction, of which there are three here that would take this up. And secondly, I would want to hear from my Democratic colleagues, because one of the problems and the reason there's so much pushback from the American people with this bill, it is a total one-party deal. Not one Republican in the House or Senate voted for this. If we did the same thing, and I believe we'll get good bipartisan support, and Tony, in only a week, this is a major piece of legislation, and for our listeners, it's not 2,700 pages, and I've read the 2,700-page Affordable Care Act. It's 182 pages. You can read it. I gave it to a friend of mine who's a doctor at home. He was able to read it one morning in about 2 hours. So it's easy to read. It's easy to understand. It empowers patients and empowers families.
And, Congressman, I know you're a physician, but you also know that it works a lot better when the patient has a stake in what type of coverage they have and the decisions they make when it comes down to their health care.
No question. Tony, look, patients have to have a financial stake, and they also have to have a stake in their own health interests. And that's the way you align those incentives. And I can tell you, it's the only way, you will ever force the cost down. And when I came here, I said it over till I was blue in the face. The biggest problem with the American healthcare system is not quality and even not access. The problem is cost. The cost is going up, being driven up and up where nobody could afford healthcare. So one of the things I looked at was how you incentivize the consumer. And I say this jokingly, but American consumers are the best in the world. We'll drive across five lanes of interstate to get gas 2 cents a gallon cheaper. And so I guarantee if we give you a way to show you save thousands of dollars on your health insurance, you're going to respond to those incentives, and the quality of your care will go up.
Now, explain how this works. A $7,500 tax refund. Is it a refundable tax credit or just tax credit?
No, it's not. We didn't want to go because we saw what happened with the earned income tax credit and so forth and some of the abuse there. It's very simple. If you make, let's say you make $60,000 a year and you're a family of four, your taxable income is $40,000 a year. Your company, if you get it through your company, can still take the deduction. But why would you do that? Well, if your health insurance costs $15,000 for a family of four, and that's about average these days, $15,000 or $16,000, that $5,000 difference between $15,000 and $20,000, if your tax bracket's 25%, you get $1,250 back. So you're incentivized to look for a cheaper plan that meets your family's needs. Let me give you an example, Tony. Another thing we did was we massively expanded health savings accounts so that you as an individual or your company can meet, if you have a high deductible plan, let's say it's $10,000 or $12,000 deductible, you can fully fund that. And I thought about a family of four. If you did that, and we also incentivize wellness, we also give a 50% tax break if you go into wellness programs, because we know they work. And let's say you have $12,500 in your health savings account per year, and you buy a high deductible plan. If you're healthy and you follow good health initiatives, as I've done through my life, 5 years you'd have $60,000. And let's say you spent 20% of it. The insurance company doesn't have that. You do. I have money in my health savings accounts that would be on the bottom line of some insurance company now if I didn't do that. People think, well, what happens to me if I have a heart attack? That's why you have the catastrophic policy, and that's why you have the health savings account dollars. And Tony, we did something else that this won't work unless we put that in there, and that is we're forcing HHS, Health and Human Services, to divulge what they pay doctors and hospital services so that when you go out now with your health savings account, you know what Medicare pays for a certain procedure or visit to the doctor. So you can then go negotiate off that rate. Right now, you don't know what that is. So it's like trying to buy a car or something. You don't know. And it doesn't require an incredibly sophisticated customer. People figure that out pretty quickly.
Well, Congressman, before I let you go, how can our listeners help in getting this front and center in this discussion about health care?
Well, one of the things they can do, and obviously, is contact the congressman. In a week, we've already gotten over 50 co-sponsors for this bill. That's unheard of on a major piece of legislation. So contacting their congressman, wherever they may be, and encouraging them to get on this bill. And we want to get it to the House floor for a debate, and I think and an up-and-down vote. And I think it's going to be bipartisan. And the ones on the other side of the aisle, the people I've talked to said, look, this is simple. We understand it. And I think we're going to get a really good vote on this.
And the name of the bill?
The bill is the American Healthcare Reform Act. And it's 3121 is the bill number.
3121, the American Healthcare Reform Act. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate your leadership on this.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Again, that was Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee discussing the details of what the Republican Study Committee has put forward as a market-based, patient-centered response to the healthcare crisis in America. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com. When we come back, Tom Fenton with Judicial Watch tells us about the latest effort to make the Obama administration transparent. You'll be interested to know who they're suing now. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. If you've ever received a letter from me or heard our Washington Watch radio program, you know that I always like to close with an encouraging reminder from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor that is provided by God to the followers of Jesus Christ. In that passage, Paul calls each of us into action by ordering us to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13 reads like this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Well, you can take a stand. You can stand with us by going to TonyPerkins.com to receive more information on how you can order one of FRC's new Stand t-shirts. Now you can wear your commitment to stand for God's truth and in the process, encourage others to do the same. To order your Stand t-shirt today, go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the Stand t-shirt graphic for more information. And together, we'll stand. Welcome back to this weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. To find out more about our guest and the subject matter on today's program, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you can sign up for my daily update, which comes out from Washington, D.C. each and every day, Monday through Friday. It's free, comes right into your inbox, a quick read on three or four issues as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, on September the 10th, Judicial Watch, a D.C.-based organization that stands for accountability and integrity in government, filed a lawsuit against the Pentagon. Why, you asked? Well, to find out their communication records with Mikey Weinstein. Now, he is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. This group stands for religious freedom, that is, unless you're a Christian. Mr. Weinstein has referred to evangelicals as the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. This has left some to question his influence on Pentagon officials. Well, on Thursday, the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fenton, joined me to talk about the latest information that they're trying to get from the Pentagon. You're there to ensure that there is transparency in government and making sure that corruption is exposed when there's the possibility of doing so. FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, was placed there after Watergate for that very purpose. But what we're finding out in this administration is that they simply ignore the law when it comes to citizens and citizen groups like yours asking for this information.
If it's a controversial question, they don't like to turn over information voluntarily, and that's why we've had to go to court nearly 120 times against the Obama administration to get basic information about what it's up to. And anyone who thinks the Bush administration wasn't transparent, and you know, we battled the Bush administration on transparency issues, I tell you, the Obama gang makes the Bush people seem like pikers in terms of secrecy.
What do you anticipate here? How close was the relationship, or is the relationship, with Weinstein with the Pentagon?
Oh, I think you're going to find it quite friendly. Look, you have to look at the response of the Pentagon. If Mickey Weinstein was out there making these comments, calling these folks, and nothing was happening, then you would wonder, well, maybe there's nothing there. But as you've documented, I'm sure, on your radio program and through your other work at FRC, you know, we've seen this over-the-top response to the concerns of Weinstein and others like him by suppressing Christian outlooks and Christian ideas, and more importantly, the expression of religious identity by, as you point out, Orthodox Christians in the military. Mm-hmm. It's the response that's troubling. The meetings, if nothing comes out of them, that's great, but it's pretty clear, based on what we've been able to see, at least publicly, plenty has come out of them.
Now, what type of information do you anticipate or expect to find? What kind of records are you going to get? What do you think might be there?
Well, obviously, you have documents about the meetings themselves. Presumably, there'll be email and other contacts with Weinstein to follow up on the meetings and to set them up. And then internal communications about what was discussed and what was followed up on by Pentagon officials. We know that information's there. That's the way, you know, we all have email offices now. We all know what the information is that is usually written down on computers and elsewhere. And so it's not like we're asking for the keys to the kingdom here. We just want basic information here. And what's great about the court process is that
they're going to have to tell the court when they're going to turn it over. And if they're not going to turn it over, they have to explain why in detail in really strong ways in order to convince the court that it can withhold the documents. They're going to have to provide us details about what they're withholding. So even telling us what they're not giving us is going to be illuminating.
Well, I mean, they certainly can't claim national security as a reason not to turn over information.
Well, I won't bore your listeners with all the games the government plays in withholding documents, but it's always a battle.
Well, Tom, before I let you go, I want to shift gears a little bit. This is extremely important because we sometimes forget, and of course this administration would love for us to forget, that this is our government. It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. So we have every right to know, especially when government is working against us, as it is in this case, that we know who's doing it, why they're doing it, what's been said, what has transpired in this. So this is a vital part of the checks and balances of government. But you recently uncovered some other information in suing the Obama administration and the Department of Justice that has some inappropriate relationships with some very polarizing figures.
Oh, sure. Over at the Southern Poverty Law Center, over at the Justice Department, you're going to have to remind me of the head of the SPLC.
Morris Dees.
Morris Dees, excuse me.
Yeah.
The founder and name chiefly associated with the Southern Poverty Law Center, he's being feted like a head of state at the Department of Justice, being invited to provide training and speaking on diversity issues, if I recall correctly, mm-hmm. at the Department of Justice. They were all excited about him coming. And again, the SPLC, as your listeners ought to well know by now, is an extreme left organization that slanders good conservatives and puts them literally in the line of fire as a result from terrorists.
Right.
By pretending they're hate groups when in fact they're furthest, there could be nothing further from the hate groups than folks like FRC and others who've been slandered by them. They've got an in with the Justice Department. We have documents showing they have an in with the Pentagon. And the attack is not just against FRC, but virtually anyone who holds conservative views. They don't want you joining the military. And obviously at the Justice Department, it's frightening that people like that might be directing justice resources at Americans who are nothing more than God-fearing Christian conservatives.
Well, Tom, we appreciate the work you do. Thanks so much for making sure that the American public gets a chance to see behind the curtain. Even though the politicians don't want it, it's important that we do. So, Tom, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Tom.
Again, that was Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch. To find out more about the great work that Tom and his team do, go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, be sure and sign up for my daily update. And you can find out more about how you can join in conversation Monday through Friday here on Washington Watch. Well, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.